Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
Shalom, everyone. In Hebrew, we say Shalom Lekulam. God bless you. It is our privilege and our blessing to be once again studying the Word of God. And as the Lord have led us in the last while, we are studying, of course, the prophecy of Habakkuk, the embracer of Israel. And it is our privilege and our blessing today to conclude, with the Lord's help, with the third chapter of the prophecy of Habakkuk. So I would like you please to turn to Habakkuk chapter 3. And the verses that I want to read are actually the last four verses of this book, or this prophecy. Habakkuk, the embracer of Israel, concluding his prayer in the third chapter, and I'm reading Habakkuk 3, verse 16, 17, 18, and 19 to conclude with what we had before us on the prayer of Habakkuk. And so we read, "When I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh up unto the people, he will invade them with his troops." Then verse 17, "Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall the fruit be in the vine, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places, to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. Lamnatseach beneginotai." These are the last two Hebrew words of the prophecy of Habakkuk, "to the chief singer on my string instruments." Well, brothers and sisters, as we going to conclude in the will of the Lord with this ministry of the prophecy of Habakkuk, we get to the final words of Habakkuk as he pray to the God of Israel. Always, it is important for us to remember that Habakkuk was concerned about his beloved nation, the nation of Israel. And by virtue of his name, Habakkuk, the embracer of Israel, lechabek in Hebrew means to embrace. And Habakkuk was embracing Israel, and specifically embracing the tribe of Judah, because he's speaking to the southern kingdom of the divided nation of Israel. And while the Assyrian already took in 721 BC the 10 northern tribes of Israel, the northern kingdom of Israel, the Assyrian took them captive, now Habakkuk is presenting his concern for the southern kingdom of Judah. When Israel was divided, Judah still remain in the city of Jerusalem, in the land of Judah, in the land of Israel, for another more than 100 years than the tribe of Israel. The tribe of Judah remained in the southern kingdom, awaiting, sadly to say, the coming of the Babylonian to take the Jewish people to the land of Babel. And so Habakkuk, you remember, and allow me please to make sure that we get a hold of this, Habakkuk did not, in this presentation, in this prophecy, he does not really speak to Israel. He is not speaking to the tribe of Yehudah. He is really having a dilemma, and he has a dialogue with the God of Israel. And the dialogue was simply because he was concerned because of the problems that existed among the Jewish people, among the tribe of Judah, when there was friction and problems in the midst of people of Judah. Habakkuk was very much concerned. Why? Because he saw that their existing iniquity and grievance and spoiling and strife and contention. And he was very sad, so he prayed to God to help, because there were wrong treatment among the people of Israel. Just how it is today, among the people, the church of the living God, there is oftentimes so many, you might say, friction among the people of God and the church, the assembly, the ecclesia is divided. Practically, though, positionally, there is only one body, the body of Messiah. But sadly, like Israel, so it is in this age of the church. Like the failure of Israel, so it is in a failure of the body of Messiah. Division and friction which cause him to yearn for his people, the Israel, and it should cause us, the believers, to yearn for the body of Christ, the body of Messiah. Because after all, the people of God are to be united. So he cried to the Lord. The Lord didn't seem to answer immediately. And when finally he answered, he said, I'm going to raise this terrible nation, the Chaldeans, in chapter 1 and verse 6. And it will be a terrible nation. A nation that we read, it's a terrible and dreadful. And they will be the one that will come and take that which is not theirs. They will be coming and spoiling the Jewish people and taking them captive. So Habakkuk is having a second dilemma, and he asks God. He says, Thou art of a pure eye than to behold evil and cannot look upon iniquity. In chapter 1 and verse 13 he says, Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and hold thy tongue when the wicked devours the man that is more righteous than he? He said in chapter 1 and verse 13. His second dilemma was he asking God, God, how is it possible that you allow a more wicked nation, the Babylonian, the Chaldeans, to come and do what they were going to do to your own people Israel? And they are more wicked than the nation of Israel. God, I do not understand. And of course, to realize this in our life, many times we do not understand how God is dealing with his people. And sometimes it seems to be very hard for us to accept it. But God does discipline his people, whether it is Israel or whether it is the church, because for the time is come, the judgment must begin at the house of God. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 17. The principle remains. God will deal with his chosen people, and sometimes it seems to be very harsh and unfair, but because God is sovereign, because God is completely in control, his providence is over all the earth which he had created, including his beloved chosen people, and therefore he was going to raise the Babylonians to come to take the Jewish people captives. And as we have mentioned it repeatedly in the messages on the prophecy of Habakkuk, 605 BC, 597 BC, 586 BC, there were three deportations of our own people of Israel, the Jewish community, out of the land of Israel, which culminated in the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem in 586 BC. And sadly, beloved brothers and sisters, we read in Psalm 137 the sad expression that the Jewish people who are seen in Babylon, predicted by Habakkuk through the word of the Lord, that they will be carried away to Babylon. Psalm 137 verse 1 said, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hung our harps upon the willows, in the midst thereof. For there, this is in Babel, in Babylon, they that carried us away, this is the Babylonian, they that carried us away captive, required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, listen to this, brothers and sisters, sing us one of the songs of Zion, of Zion. And look how they wept there in Babylon, and Habakkuk could see what would happen when he was writing his prophecy in about 630 BC. You might say some 50 years or 55, 60 years before the Babylonian came, he could see what the Babylonian will do and how Israel, the Jewish people, will be sad and broken. And you notice what they said in Psalm 137 verse 4, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? And it was there that they say, if I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunnings. Im eshkachech Yerushalayim, Tishakach Yemini. That's what they said there in Babylon. As it was predicted by the Lord through Habakkuk almost 50, 60 years before it actually happened. And no wonder Habakkuk, now as we are closing this ministry of Habakkuk, his dialogue with God that present before us the heart of Habakkuk, he is now crying to the Lord. He is now saying to the Lord, of course, as we go into the second chapter, and we have already covered how that he is standing upon a watch. He set himself on a tower. He said, I will watch to see what the Lord, what he will say unto me. In other words, Habakkuk is waiting for the answer of the Lord, how he is going to raise the Babylonian and how he will respond to Habakkuk's question, Lord, how can you allow a more wicked nation to discipline your own nation of Israel, specifically Judah? And so in the whole second chapter, beloved brothers and sisters, we have covered it already. Habakkuk received a vision from the Lord, how the Babylonian will come and how they will come and they will discipline the people of Israel, and how the just has to live by faith during those difficult days of the captivity of the Babylonian, and how the Jewish people will be persecuted. But eventually, at the end of chapter 2, the Lord gave to Habakkuk those fivefold woes against the Babylonian, which we have already covered, if you remember. Woe, he says, that the Lord will punish eventually the Babylonian, and that he ultimately will restore the people of Israel. If you remember, we read this in this second chapter. But, beloved brothers and sisters, in the second chapter, we learn that God have given Habakkuk not only the immediate prophecy that will come to pass sometime at 586 BC, when the Jewish people will be taken to Babylon and the first Solomonic temple will be destroyed. Now Habakkuk receive an information from the Lord which carry us all the way to the final days of what is known to be the tribulation, and we call it, in according to Jeremiah, Tzarat Yaakov, Jacob's trouble. Now, again, brothers and sisters, you must bear this in mind, and I have to repeat myself again. If we are to correctly understand the Word of God, we must rightly divide the word of truth, as Timothy was told by Shaul Paul. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This is very, very important, beloved brothers and sisters. This is found in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Why? Because if we don't rightly divide the word of truth, we're going to get into all kind of theories, men's opinion, men's, human desires that is really placed into the word of God that is really not found in the word of God. Such as replacement teaching, that the church now replaced Israel, and the blessing, the promises that God gave to Israel is now given to the church, to the assembly. Or such as that now Israel has no longer future, and that Israel is done away when Israel did not accept Yeshua the Messiah at his first coming. And so on, teaching that are not healthy if we are to rightly understand the Word of God. Remember, beloved brothers and sisters, that when Habakkuk was giving us his prophecy, he never knew, nor was it ever revealed to any man, about the age in which we live in, the assembly, the ecclesia, the church age. According to Ephesians chapter 3, it was a mystery that was hid in God and was revealed to the apostle Shaul Paul by the Lord himself. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 9, Shaul Paul said, "And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ," or Yeshua HaMashiach. Notice how clearly it is given to us in this scripture. In fact, beloved brothers and sisters, according to verse 5 of Ephesians chapter 3, we read in verse 5, "That which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by that Spirit." What was revealed to them? Look at Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 4. It says, "The my knowledge in a mystery of Christ," in a mystery of the Messiah, the church, the assembly, and the Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus. In other words, if we are to rightly understand this passage of Habakkuk, especially the last passage that we just read, this final prayer of Habakkuk that received this revelation from the Lord concerning the future, remember that as far as Habakkuk was concerned, okay, God will gonna take Israel through the Babylonian, will discipline them, and he will ultimately restore them back to the land. And finally, according to chapter 2 of the prophet Habakkuk, "The earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the water cover the sea." This is Habakkuk 2 and verse 14. And secondly, verse 20 of Habakkuk chapter 2, "The Lord is in his holy temple, let all the earth keep silence before him." Notice twice God revealed to Habakkuk what ultimately was going to happen, that all the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, and that the Lord is in his holy temple and all the earth will keep silence before him. Now listen, my dear friend, when did this ever happen in history? It never happened in 630 or 40 when Habakkuk received this message. It didn't happen in 586 BC when the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed, burned with fire by the Babylonian, and the Jews were carried captive. Our own people were carried captive. It did not happen when Yeshua the Messiah came after the second temple was rebuilt and Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, lived among our own people in the land of Israel and died on a Roman cross. And it did not happen since the time that the Lord Yeshua the Messiah died at about 30 AD until today, in the time in which we live in, some 2,000 years pass by. And we can never say that the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the water covered the sea. We can never say that it is happening already now. It hasn't happened. We can say that it will be, because it does say, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, Habakkuk 2 and verse 14, but it hasn't happened as yet. We also cannot say now that the Lord is in his holy temple and all the earth will keep silence before him. Habakkuk 2 and verse 20, because it hadn't happened as yet. It didn't happen, and I tell you why. Because that takes us to the end of the days, in which ultimately God is intending to restore Israel, his people, back to the land. And that the Messiah will come at his second coming, after he will allow the world to experience these 7 years of tribulation. And at the end of the 7 years of tribulation, he will finally come and establish that which he promised to establish. And he will reign as King of Kings. And he will reign as Lord of Lords. And the whole earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as it says here, as the waters cover the sea. And that the Lord, Jehovah, the Lord, the Son, God the Son, as men, Yeshua the Messiah, he will be in his holy temple, and all the earth shall keep silent before him, because he will rule in righteousness, as we read in scripture in Isaiah chapter 11, that he will come and rule, and he will come and he will reign in righteousness as the descendant of David, namely our Messiah, the Lord Yeshua himself. And so how wonderful that we have this hope, but if we are to rightly understand, Habakkuk does not understand, does not have the truth that you and I have today, because we have the complete canon of scripture. We have both the Tanakh, that is the what is called the Hebrew scriptures, the Old Testament, and we also have the Brit HaChadasha, that is the new covenant in which the apostles gave this to us. And by divine revelation, we have all the canon of scriptures. And if we to rightly understand the word of the Lord and to realize that this present day age of which we live in this church or assembly age, the assembly, the church, the ecclesia is a heavenly company. And once these days will come to the end and the church, the assembly will be taken to heaven, God will begin his direct dealing with his people, Israel, and he will restore the Jewish people back to the land, but not before there will be these Jacob's trouble, Tzarat Yaakov, which according to the book of Daniel chapter 9 will last for 7 years. And so now, in this third chapter, as we're concluding this book of Habakkuk, Habakkuk is now praying, as we read in chapter 3, verse 1, a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, upon Shigionot. Then in verse 2, he is now, in a sense, taking himself and placing himself as he is one of the remnant of Israel that will experience this terrible time, because he, anticipated to be one of those that will be carried away to Babylon. God did not give him dates. He didn't give him time. All what he said in chapter 1 and verse 5 and 6, especially verse 6, I will raise the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. So Habakkuk anticipated that the Babylonians will come in his days, and that they will cause this affliction upon him and his Jewish brethren, the people of Israel. And therefore, he says, God, it is not right for you to allow a more wicked nation to do to your own people that which you described in this second chapter. So because God said it will surely come to pass, if you remember chapter 2, he says, write the vision, make it plain upon tables, for he may run that readeth it. Habakkuk, any one of the people of Israel, any one of the Jewish people who will read what you put on these tablets, he said, he will run and he will be faithful to me, even though he will experience this persecution. And if you remember, he said to him in the very same passage in Habakkuk 2 verse 4, the just shall live by faith, by his faithfulness. The godly people of Israel who will love the God of Israel, they will live for the Lord, even though he or they will experience the tribulation period. And so, even though Habakkuk didn't have the understanding that you and I have today, and the only reason you and I have this understanding is because God revealed it through the complete canon of scripture which we have in our hands today. And so now, as Habakkuk is praying to conclude his dialogue with God, he said, if you remember in verse 2 of this third chapter, he said, O Lord, I have heard thy speech, and I was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. This expression, in the midst of the years, Bekerev Hashanim, is mentioned here in verse 2. It's really the Kerev Hashanim, in the midst of the years. It's applied specifically in the midst of the years of the tribulation period, in the midst of the years when trouble will fall upon Judah and the Jewish people, in the midst of the years when Jacob's trouble will occur, in the midst of the years where the Lord Yeshua the Messiah said, there then shall there be great tribulation such as never was since the beginning of this world. Matthew chapter 24. So Habakkuk, seeing himself with the people of Israel, some call them the remnant, but this remnant will be a faithful, godly Jewish people who will be during the tribulation period. From our point of view, it's still future. From Habakkuk's point of view, it was also future. And we look to the future day when there will be this terrible time, terrible events that will occur here upon the earth. Those of us that belong to the heavenly company, the church, the assembly, the ecclesia, according to scripture, we believe that the dead in Messiah shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord Yeshua. We will meet him in the air and go to be with him at the Father's house while the 7-year tribulation occur here on earth. And here during these 7 years, God will deal with this world in judgment. And beloved brothers and sisters, as we have already covered from verse 3 all the way to verse 15 of Habakkuk chapter 3, we are looking now at the end of the tribulation, when finally the Messiah will come to restore Israel. You remember what we read in verse 3, God came from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. And his brightness was as the light, and he had horns coming out of his hand, and there was hiding of his power. Before him went the pestilence, and burning coals went forth at his feet. That word for horns really supposed to be raised. There was the shining power and the shining light of the second coming of the Messiah at the end of what is known to be Jacob's trouble, the 7 years of the tribulation. And we have covered these verses from verses 3 to verses 15, in which Habakkuk present before us the second coming of the Messiah at the end of the tribulation period. Now, brothers and sisters, what do we do? What do the Jewish people will do during the tribulation period? It's going to be a very, very difficult time. And in these last and final verses of Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 16, 17, 18, and 19, Habakkuk now presents before us the attitude, you might say, of the godly remnant of Israel, or the godly from among the Jewish people who will believe in the God of Israel and will believe that he is able to restore them. He's able to restore the nation, and no matter what, they will trust in God, and they will also trust that Yeshua, that Jesus, is the Messiah. Now again, we must connect or link Scripture with Scripture. That's why the Bible interprets itself, and that's why if we take the whole canon of Scripture, it helps us to understand this. So we have already covered the fact that the Messiah will come, but now in verses 16, 17, 18, and 19, in these last verses of the prayer of Habakkuk, of the third chapter, Habakkuk describes before us, say, the fourfold attitude which will characterize the godly Jewish people who will live during the tribulation age, a period, and they will have such a trust in the Lord. They will be protected by the Lord Yeshua. They will already know him during the tribulation period. They will testify to the fact that he is the Messiah, and they will preach the message of the gospel of the kingdom that is going to come during the 7 years of tribulation, while the rest of the nation of Israel will come to the knowledge of the Messiah at the end of the tribulation period, at the end of the 7 years, when Yeshua, the Lord Jesus, will come from heaven as to judge and to punish the enemies of the nation who will rise against the people of Israel. Now I would want, before we're going to go through those four verses, I want you to turn with me to Revelation chapter 6 for a moment, and there I want to read a few verses right now. Revelation chapter 6, and I'll read just some verses, verse 12. Here we are in the book of the Revelation. Again, remember, brothers and sisters, that the book of Revelation was written about 95, 96 and so AD. Yeshua already came at about, born at about 5, 6 BC, died at about 30 AD, lived about 33 and a half years. He was died on a Roman cross, and the church, the ecclesia, was born at about 30 AD, the heavenly company. From there on, we know that the early apostles preached the gospels to the Gentile world as well, beginning in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And the last apostle that remained alive was Yohanan, John. John was carried to the island of Patmos. In the island of Patmos, the glorified Messiah gave him this vision, or the vision that we call Revelation. God revealed to John through specific information who Yeshua is, and Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, gave him this information about future events. Specifically, chapter 6 to chapter 19, all these chapters describe the tribulation period. Revelation 6 to 19 describe the 7-year tribulation that will be upon the face of this earth. And in these 7 years, we have this book that 7 seals had to be opened. And every seal represents a judgment. And the 7th seal is open, then you have 7 trumpets that are sound. Every trumpet represents a judgment of God. And when the 7th trumpet is sound, then we have 7 bowls that poured upon the earth. And every one of these bowls represents a judgment of God, which will culminate with the coming of the Messiah Yeshua out of heaven at the end of the tribulation. This is found in Revelation chapter 19. But in Revelation chapter 6, we see we are just in the beginning of the tribulation sometime, before the middle of the tribulation. We find out, and I want to read it in verse 12. Revelation 6 and verse 12. And I beheld, and when he opened the 6th seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became blake, and a sackcloth of hair, and a moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as the fig tree casteth her untimely figs. When she is shaken off the mighty wind, and the heavens departed as a scroll, when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every freeman, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and notice what it says here, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? You notice, brothers and sisters, the wrath of the Lamb. Who shall be able to stand? Then in chapter 7, in verse 1, and after these things I saw 4 angels standing on the 4 corners of the earth, holding the 4 winds of the earth, that the winds should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel sending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the 4 angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. And then we read, beloved brothers and sisters, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till they have sealed the servants of our God in their forehead. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. And then it gives you that list in verses 5 to verse 8. Judah, Reuven, Gad, Asher, Naphtali, Menashe, Shimon, Levi, Yisachar, Zvulun, Yosef, and Binyamin. Interesting that we have the list of those that were sealed. 144,000 Hebrews, notice, out of all the tribes of the children of Israel. So, just imagine, Habakkuk is speaking about the tribulation, the time of trouble. He takes us over all the ages and he brings us all the way to these 7-year tribulation. And he sees himself, beloved brothers and sisters, as if he is one of these, you might say, saints that are called according to Habakkuk 2 and verse 4, that the just shall live by his faith, by his faithfulness. He is now seeing himself as if he is one of these faithful remnant of Israel during the time of trouble, that God is going to seal and protect, and ultimately he will restore Israel back to himself. And though in Revelation it's something that was predicted or given later on to the Apostle John on the island of Patmos, yet there is a link between Habakkuk 3 and Revelation chapter 6 to chapter 19, because both of these men, by the way, Hebrew Jewish men, predicting or receiving by divine revelation the word of the Lord concerning the final restoration of Israel and the final blessing to the whole world, when the Messiah is going to come in his second coming. So now, beloved brothers and sisters, saying all this, we look now at the prayer of Habakkuk. He asked that the Lord, in the midst of his wrath, will remember mercy. He received the information about the second coming of the Messiah from verse 3 to verse 15. God came from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. By the way, Teman and Paran is the area of present-day Jordan, where the Messiah, according to Isaiah 63, will come to Bozra, to the area that is in the desert, in the wilderness, when the remnant of Israel will be preserved and protected by the Lord during the tribulation period. So Habakkuk received the information that God, this is the Mashiach, he will come from Teman, this is next to Bozra, and from Paran, this is present-day Jordan, and he will come to the city of Jerusalem to restore his people Israel back to himself. And so Habakkuk, in the final verses of this third chapter, present before us the attitude of the Jewish people who will trust in the God of Israel during the tribulation period, waiting the coming of the Messiah to deliver them out of their enemies. And you notice, brothers and sisters, in these final verses of Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 16 to 19, there are four distinct personal attitude that each one of these godly remnants, seeing in the 144,000 Hebrews in Revelation chapter 7, seeing in the two witnesses and the godly remnant that is found in Revelation chapter 11. And as it's mentioned by the Lord himself, that these, you might say, saints of the tribulation, the godly saints of the tribulation, will have a godly attitude. They will have four things that are seen here in these final verses. Notice that, and I'm reading verse 16 now. Habakkuk 3:16, the first part. When I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at a voice, rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself. Notice this, that the first thing that we learn about these, you might say, saints, these Jewish people, a Habakkuk seeing himself there, not knowing, of course, that many, many, many years will pass before this will happen. But these godly remnant of Israel will experience the tribulation, and the first thing that we receive them in verse 16, the first part, is that they will have brokenness before God. They will be, you might say, a person, a humble and a contrite people who will be broken before the Lord. In Hebrew, we call it shvurim or shavur, a broken vessel. They will be humbled before the Lord, like Abraham, who fell at the feet of the Lord in Genesis chapter 17. Like Isaiah in chapter 6, who says, "Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." Like Daniel, who in chapter 10 have repented before the Lord when he saw the power and authority of God as he received information from the Lord. And so notice how beautiful. "When I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself." It's not only fear that came upon him, but acknowledgement, beloved brothers and sisters, that he is totally broken before God and totally need the mercy of the Lord. He is the one that will be, he and the rest of the tribulation saints, the godly people of Israel, that God will use to be a blessing and use as a messenger to restore Israel and the world to himself. You might see them in the 144,000 of Revelation chapter 7, these 144,000 out of all the tribes of the children of Israel who will preach and be faithful to the Lord, but they will do it in humility, recognizing that they are completely dependent upon him. In Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, we read, "After this I beheld, and lo, great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hand, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb." You see, the 144,000 Hebrews from all the 12 tribes of Israel will be the ones that will share the message of God, but it will come out of this humility and brokenness, because they realize, as Habakkuk described here, that God is the one who is in authority, and that he is the one that bring about this judgment upon this world. And Habakkuk trembled, as it says. Notice he says, "My lips, my belly, my bones, I trouble in myself." He was totally troubled because of who God is, broken before him. In other words, humbling, prostrate at the feet, as it were, of the Lord, recognizing who God is and what God is intending to do. That reminds me, in Genesis chapter 17, we read of Avraham Avinu, Abraham our father, in verse 3, "And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations." Abraham fell at the feet of the Lord. Habakkuk fell at the feet of the Lord. The 144,000 Hebrews fell at the feet of God, and they were sealed by him, and they were used to be a servant, that ultimately they led many others during the tribulation period to come to acknowledge who God is. That's first. But secondly, not only that they were broken vessels before God, as Habakkuk described himself here, but secondly, they only could find rest in God himself. You see, Habakkuk could see what God had said to him about the coming Babylonian. And he, in a small way, could anticipate the future day in which the remnant of Israel, the people of Israel, the only place of rest during the tribulation period will not be anywhere else. It will be only found in the Lord. So what Habakkuk is saying in Habakkuk 3 and verse 16b, the second half, notice not only that he was broken before the Lord, he now showed that he found rest in the Lord. In Hebrew we say menucha, manoach. He found menucha, he found rest in the Lord during the tribulation. And so we read in verse 16b, it said that I might rest in the day of trouble. Oh, what a wonderful, amazing truth it is. At the only place of rest during time of trouble is found in the Lord. Many times, beloved brothers and sisters, we are exhorted to rest in the Lord. Not to rest in any other, but to rest in the Lord. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, Yeshua said, when he was in Galilee, in the land of Israel, when he was appealing to all to come to find rest in him. Today also, as we preach the message of the gospel during this church age, we call others, come unto Yeshua, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and you will find rest in him, in Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, not in any other, because he is the one who gives us spiritual rest, positional rest, eternal rest. It's found in him. Even though we at times experience trouble, as we read in John 16, in this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Oh, beloved friend, Habakkuk, not only that he had personal brokenness before God when he knew that the only place of rest is in him, he also had a personal rest in God, in the God of Israel, and we know it is the Messiah of Israel, because only God can give rest in the middle of trouble. You notice I'm reading verse 16, the second half again. That I might find rest in the day of trouble, when he cometh up unto the people, he will invade them with his troops. In other words, he says, when the Antichrist, when the false prophet, when Satan and his armies that he will raise during the tribulation going to come against God's people, the only place of rest is found in the Lord himself. You see, it always was in history. Rest is only found in God, not in men. Rest is only found in the person of the Lord Yeshua the Messiah. Isaiah said this many years ago. In his prophecy, when he is anticipating, speaking really about the Messiah, he says, behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and a princess shall rule in judgment. And a man shall be a hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Isaiah, in chapter 32, anticipating the tribulation period, saying to Israel, that a man shall be an hiding place from the wind. This is from the wind of God's righteous indignation against the sin of man during the tribulation, a period of time. So, two things Habakkuk mentioned in his prayer as he concluding his cry to the Lord. Verse 16a, he had his personal brokenness and confession before the Lord. Verse 16b, he has his own personal rest that he found in the Lord, as the remnant of Israel will be broken before the Lord during the tribulation. The remnant of Israel will rest in the Lord, 144,000, the two witnesses and many others from among our people of Israel during the tribulation period. They will find rest in God, rest in the Messiah Yeshua, and they will be able to serve him during the tribulation in the midst of a terrible time, which they will experience. But not only that, beloved brothers and sisters, in verses 17 and verse 18 of Habakkuk chapter 3, here's the joy in the midst of trouble that Habakkuk found in the Lord. In the Lord. The joy of the Lord is your strength, Nehemiah said to our people of old. Rejoice in the Lord, Shaul Paul said to the Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice to the Philippians. Let your moderation be made known unto all men. Rejoice in the Lord. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Here Habakkuk is saying in his prayer to God, as the remnant of Israel will say during the difficult days of Jacob's trouble, during the tribulation. Notice verses 17 and 18, and I'm reading this. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vine, the labor of the olive tree shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Oh, what an amazing testimony of Habakkuk here, representing his own brethren, the Jewish people, who will experience the tribulation period. As far as we know it from today, it's still yet future. But Habakkuk anticipated this coming tribulation when the Babylonian nation will come to take the Jewish people in his days, in 586 BC, to Babylon. And so notice what he says. He says in verse 17, all the God-given provision, even though they will be removed, like the fig tree, like the vine tree, like the olive tree, all the fruit, all that which comes out of these, the fig tree, the vine tree, the olive tree, all, even if the field will not yield any meat, any ochel, any food, and even if there will be no flock in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will joy in the God of my salvation. This is such a beautiful expression, the God of my salvation. Elohei Yishei in Hebrew. The word salvation is mentioned twice in this third chapter. You remember in verse 13, when Habakkuk was speaking about the coming of the Messiah at the end of the tribulation, he said in verse 13, thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people. Leyashea et amcha, Yeshuat amcha. And here in verse 18, the God of my salvation, Elohei Yishei, my personal salvation. And again, I want you to understand, this is so beautiful because you remember the name of the Messiah that was born to the Virgin Miriam in the city of Bethlehem. The angel have said to Yosef, and you shall call his name Yeshua. You notice here, Yeshua, Yeshi, Yeshuati, Yeshuat Amcha. It's come the same root word. Yeshua simply means salvation. The Greek translation of the Hebrew Yeshua is Jesus. The English transliteration from the Greek is from Jesus to Jesus.
But the Hebrew means Yeshua, and it simply means salvation. You shall call his name Yeshua, for he shall save his people from their sins. And how wonderful is the third lesson, third attitude of the remnant of Israel, of the Jewish people during the godly Jewish people during the tribulation period, is that they will be broken before the Lord, verse 16a. They will find rest in the Lord, verse 16b. They will find joy in the midst of trouble in the Lord, in the God of Israel, as we read, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, in Jehovah, in Adonai, and I will joy in the God of my salvation. It is fascinating. It is really fascinating when Habakkuk is expressing this before, in prayer, before God, and he's saying, no matter what's going to happen, the fig tree may not blossom. There will not be fruit on the vines. And the olive tree shall fail. And the fields shall yield no meat. That mainly means the field will yield no ochel, no food. And the flocks shall be cut off from the fold. And there will be no herd in the stall. Yet, here's a decision making. In the midst of a difficult day, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. What a testimony we can see here in Habakkuk first, as he prays, but in the godly people of Israel during the times of trouble in the tribulation period. And I want to mention this, dear beloved brothers and sisters. The very fact that we have a Bible in our hands today, the very fact that we have both the Tanakh, that is the Old Covenant, and the Brit HaChadashah, that is the New Covenant, we have it in our hands because God has raised his people, the Jewish people, to protect his word and to present it for us. When you really think about it, someone, God has chosen to put down for us the Holy Writ, the Torah, the Nevi'im, the Ketuvim, the Brit HaChadashah, the Law, the Prophets, the Writing in the New Covenant. We have it in our hands because God has raised godly men from among Israel to give us the Bible today. And how appreciative any believer in the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, is to thank God for protecting his word and preserving it for us today to benefit for that. And we also, beloved brothers and sisters who are saved during this church age, are to be so thankful that God has sent the Messiah, Jesus, Yeshua, through the nation of Israel to us. And the world had benefited because God has sent the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. And yet, sadly, history shows us how Satan have influenced men, people, to hate Israel, to hate the Jewish people. It's always fascinating. How can one hold the Bible in his hand and hate the people whom God has chosen to bring us the Bible in our own hand? It is really fascinating. But it only shows how the sin nature in us, all of us, Jew and Gentile, is so terrible that we are often neglecting to appreciate what God has done for us. And you know, brothers and sisters, as we read these texts, Habakkuk gives us a great example how we are to love God's people. We are to love God's people, Israel. We are to love God's people, the church, the body of Messiah. And we are to pray for God's people. We are to seek the welfare of God's people. Whether the earthly people or the heavenly people, we are to seek God's purposes and plan for his people. As Israel failed, so the church had failed. As Israel gone wrong, so we are seeing this today, how the church gone wrong during these last days of the church age.
And imagine, when we're all going to stand before God, it is only His mercy, it is only His grace that will bring us to His presence. And how thankful ought we to be for His complete grace towards us. And we are to, like Habakkuk said, in wrath, remember mercy. Remember mercy, God, upon your own people. And so finally, beloved brothers and sisters, while we see the personal brokenness of Habakkuk and the remnant of Israel in verse 16a, and we see the rest of Habakkuk and the remnant of Israel found in verse 16b, and we see the personal joy that Habakkuk found in the Lord, as the remnant of Israel will find in the Lord during the tribulation period, the Jewish people during the terrible days of tribulation. So notice the fourth thing that is found in verse 19, and this is really the final verse of the prophecy of Habakkuk. And the fourth, you might say, attitude is the attitude of personal faith and trust in the Lord during times of stress. We read in verse 19, "The Lord God is my strength, and He will make my feet like a hind's feet, and He will make me to walk upon mine high places." Notice, it is the Lord God that will give me strength, Habakkuk says in the middle of trial. It is the Lord God that will make my feet like hind's feet, that will allow me to run and to go forward. It is He that make me walk upon mine high places. It is the Lord. It's all from the Lord, Habakkuk is saying. It is all from God. The people of Israel and the Jewish people of the tribulation people, the tribulation period will say, when they will experience the tribulation, it is all of God. You and I have to say in our life today, it is really all of God. We think sometimes that it is ourselves, but it is not. The Lord is my strength. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like hind's feet. He will make me to walk upon mine high places. It is all of God. You remember what Yeshua said in John 15? "Without me ye can do nothing." He said this to the disciples in Jerusalem, in the upper room, before He went to die on that shameful cross for our sins. He says, "Without me you can do nothing." God said, "I am your shield and your great reward to our father Abraham." It is all of God. It is not of man. And Habakkuk closed this prayer of his in the third chapter, from verse 1, a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet upon Shigionot. Notice that. That word Shigionot is a passionate song, a passionate prayer that the Jewish people would pray throughout the generation. And you notice how he closed this third chapter? And I'm going to read it at the end of verse 19. I'm just reading it now. "To the chief singer on my stringed instrument." In Hebrew, it's only two words. "Lamnatzeach beneginotai." To the chief singer, or the chief musician, on my string instrument. You see, in verse 1, the shigionot, the passionate song, was handed over to the chief musician in the temple, which at the time was still in existence, because the Babylonians did not come to destroy the temple until 586 BC. And he's handing over that song. He's handing over that prayer. He's handing over that burden for his people. And he's saying, "This will be the song that I will sing." But this is the song that everyone among the people of Israel over the generation have been singing the songs of crying to the Lord in the midst of trouble and seeking the Lord's help and saying, yet I will rejoice in the Lord and I will joy in the God of my salvation. David did the very same thing. In Psalm 7, Shigayon of David, verse 1, which he sang unto the Lord concerning the words of Cush the Benjaminite. Also, David, who had been suffering, had been rejected, had been the one, the forefathers of Yeshua the Messiah, of Yeshua became descendant of David. He took that, you might say, this Shigayon, Shigyonot, or Shigayon, this passionate song of prayer to God, and he sung it. And here Habakkuk takes the very same passionate prayer, and he handed it over to the chief musician, the chief singer in Israel, who will lead the whole company of singers in the temple to sing this with stringed instrument unto the Lord, the whole choir, and to sing that song of praise unto the Lord. And what was that song in its culmination? Verses 17, 18, and 19. Let me sing it and read it one more time. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet. And he will make me to walk upon mine high places. In the midst of tribulation, it is only the Lord that will preserve his people and will bring eventually the restoration of Judah, the restoration of Israel, and culminate with the Messianic kingdom that will happen yet in a future day. And not only Israel, beloved friend, the whole world will enjoy this kingdom. Everyone will come from the east and from the west and will worship the King, the Messiah. And they will rejoice as they will come to Jerusalem. And they will enjoy that wonderful day of the future day of the restoration of this world to the Lord. We read in Isaiah chapter 2, and I'm going to conclude these verses, beautiful verses that we read in the Isaiah chapter 2. Many people shall go and say, this is verse 3 of Isaiah 2, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his path. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. O house of Jacob, come ye, and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 2, verses 3, 4, and 5. Oh, beloved brothers and sisters, my heart is longing for this future day when there will be this final blessing to the whole world, and the Lord Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, will reign as King of kings and Lord of lords. Israel restored to their place before God. The world is restored to the place before God. And every people and tongue and nation shall sing that hallelujah song to the King, to the Messiah, the one who loved us and who first came to die for the sin of this world. And secondly, he came to reign and to rule over the world that have finally have accepted him as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is our blessed Lord, Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah. Well, that is the conclusion of the prophecy of Habakkuk, the embracer of Israel. Well, God bless you, and may God bless his word. Take care, and shalom, shalom.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitam. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.